Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning are selected verses from the Holy Gospel, as you have heard read, and our theme this morning, the Holy Trinity has provided your salvation. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, if you are a parent or a grandparent, you know this movie oh so well. The name of the movie is Toy Story. I think I have it memorized. But in this movie, the toys come to life. And their greatest joy is to belong, to be loved by a child. Woody, the cowboy, proudly displays on the bottom of his boot the name of his owner, Andy. Woody belongs to Andy. At every age, we understand that to put our name on something, or better yet, to give your name is to give that person relationship. A child's first words is often mama or dada. It's the result of work, isn't it, parents? The parents have been saying these two words for months and months and months, awaiting for that one special day when their child will say mama or dada, which bespeaks relationship. It speaks of a relationship of love, a relationship of caring. It's not accidental, my dear friends, that the Lord uses name-giving events to describe His relationship to His children. In fact, every time God gives His name, it is a connection with a promise. For instance, from Joel chapter 2, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It is not we who name God. He names Himself. And His name is His revelation of Himself to you, to me. At the culmination of our Lord's ministry, as He takes the 11 out to the Mount of Olives, Jesus bestows the name unto His church. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit." Jesus' name, the name of God, is bestowed. It is given. And it brings fellowship. It brings fellowship with the person of the Holy Trinity. And then places the name on His disciples, on His disciples. Those who bear the name through baptism have a place in the eternal fellowship. And that is what's happened here this morning. Amanda and Samantha have been grafted in to their Lord Jesus. They now have fellowship with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Satan's name has been eradicated, removed from their heart, and the name Elohim has been written on their heart. Amanda and Samantha belong to God for the rest of eternity. His name will define His people. His name will define who Amanda and Samantha are. Therefore, this morning we hear the Trinity of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And the doctrine of the Trinity cannot be overlooked, and it must not be ignored. For it is the heart of the Lord's promises, the promise of salvation that we find in the Holy Trinity. So therefore, this morning we go to our text, and from the very beginning we hear these words. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night and said to Him, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My dear friends, Nicodemus and the Pharisees, they knew that Jesus was from God, did they? How did they know? How do they know that Jesus was from God? Well, by Jesus working his miracles. That's how they knew who Jesus was. But did Nicodemus and the Pharisees, did they really know Jesus? You see, they didn't really know him. They didn't know him as the Son of God. Nicodemus and the Pharisees didn't believe that this man from Nazareth was their Messiah. They truly didn't believe the Holy Trinity. They said that they believe in Yahweh, but whenever you divorce the Son from the Father, you no longer have a Trinity, and therefore you can no longer believe. When you divorce the Holy Spirit from the Son, you no longer have a Trinity, and therefore you no longer believe. And that was the problem with Nicodemus and the Pharisees. So Jesus makes it clear. May I say, Jesus makes it very, very clear, very concise and very powerful. Jesus himself makes a confession. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Genethe anothen, the two Greek words that John writes. Literally translated, they mean born anew. You see, one cannot attempt to see the kingdom of God by their own works, by their own power, by their own righteousness, by their own intelligence, by their own piety, by their own self-inner purification. Jesus is addressing a serious issue with the Pharisees. Their self-righteousness wasn't saving them, it was actually condemning them. For Jesus tells Nicodemus, and he tells you and me, that you must be born anew. This morning, Amanda and Samantha have been born anew. They now bear the name. They received. Did you notice? They received. They didn't take. They didn't work for it. It wasn't their piety that brought them here. They didn't have anything to prove. Rather, they came as poor, miserable sinners. And God, in his great mercy and grace, has saved them. Just like today, Nicodemus didn't get it. He just couldn't understand, because like Nicodemus, people today, too often they think earthly because they're not able to think heavenly. Jesus is talking about a work, a miracle that comes from above. By the way, the word anothen can also be translated from above. Being born from above is the work of the Trinity. Being born from above is totally and only, as you saw, passive. The Holy Spirit is doing the work. It's a miracle, yes. In baptism, Amanda and Samantha are now born from above. When water is applied with God's word, the Holy Spirit comes into their hearts, gives them faith in Jesus Christ, who was sent by their Heavenly Father to save them and to save you from all your sin. And that Nicodemus could not understand. And in that, many people today, even though they call themselves Christians, they cannot understand, because they aren't thinking heavenly. They are thinking earthly. So therefore, Jesus, and I ask you, I encourage you to take out your insert and look at the readings there under John, and begin at the verse, and look at verse 11. At verse 11, Jesus clearly, concisely, once again, speaks the truth, and he speaks of the Holy Trinity. Jesus says, we speak, we know, We have seen our testimony. Jesus is speaking only of the Holy Trinity. Jesus, the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, speaks what the Father and the Holy Spirit know. One God, three persons. Jesus is crystal clear, and he's pointing out to Nicodemus that there is a Trinity, and try to divorce one from the other, you no longer have a Trinity, because actually you would then be living in unbelief. You would be thinking earthly, not heavenly. And then we hear Jesus proclaim the gospel. He has condemned Nicodemus, and maybe he has condemned you today if you think that you can attain heaven by your work, or by what you do, or because you think you're a special person, because you have done this and this and this. No, Jesus says you cannot attain heaven that way. You must be born from above. But then Jesus gives us a clear announcement, a clear proclamation of gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Pure gospel. God the Father gives his Son to die for you. God the Holy Spirit leads you to believe what the Father has done for you, for the sake of his only begotten Son, who went here to the cross to die for you. And there is none other who has died for you. As Jesus tells you, there is only one way to the Father, and it is through him. For he is the truth. For he is the way. For he is the life. And it's Jesus who says that you have eternal life. No one else can say that. For it is he who has won eternal life for you and for me. Therefore, this morning, by the washing of water and the Holy Spirit, being born from above, and only because Jesus speaks for the Father with the Holy Spirit, you now know and believe heavenly things. Truly, truly, Amanda, you will know heavenly things. Truly, truly, Samantha, you will know heavenly things, because this is the work of God. And therefore, you should rejoice. Yes, you should rejoice. We all should rejoice that in our baptisms, as with their baptisms, faith has been given to us as a free gift. And we can know the truth, and it's the truth that has set you free. And the truth is this, that one man went here to the cross to die for your sin, that one man went into the tomb, but he rose again on the third day, and he ascended into heaven. There he stands at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me. And then one great and glorious day, he will come for his church. He will come for his bride. And he will take us into his kingdom. And there we will know the truth. We will know the truth of the Holy Trinity. And we give thanks. We give thanks this day for the Holy Trinity. For in the Holy Trinity, your salvation has been won. And by the work of the Holy Trinity, all your sin, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.